Now, Christmas is a time of the year when, above all else, we indulge in and celebrate in and focus on consumerism. Am I right? Virginia, can I get the brilliant, thanks. So that's what we're going to be looking at now. Obviously, the big companies, the big organizations, they know this, and they want to cash in on our pounds, even though they're worth less than they used to be. They come out every year with special Christmas adverts aimed to make us feel a mixture of sentimentality, warm, fuzzy glow, and above all, to then actually spend. So what I thought we'd do is just find out just how glued you've been to your television sets over the last month or so, and see if you can actually identify some of these characters. Right, there will be a prize. Who can tell me the name of this little dragon and who he's selling for? Anyone? Wait. You can't see him. Oh, there we go. Okay. Here we go. Yeah, go on. John Lewis, yes, to the middle class people over there. And what's the name of the dragon? Yeah, the name of the dragon? Edgar. Oh, man. What a middle class congregation we've got. Very good. Well done. However, in terms of my 5-star rating, in terms of does this actually hit the Christmas spot? I'm sorry, but dragons do not say Christmas to me. So I'm giving it a 1-star rating. All right, let's move on. So we're getting a bit higher now. We've got cutesy little reindeer. Who can tell me what they're advertising? Someone over here? Yeah, there. Huh? McDonald's, yes. Yeah, nothing says Christmas like a flaccid cheap burger made from rendered something or other. But if you've seen the advert, it is actually quite good. You know, there's the kind of hair-tossing teenager, and she kind of warms up and gets into family spirit. So even though it's advertising junk food, I'm going to give it 3 stars out of 5. Yeah, going up. All right, let's see. So this little vegetable family here, who can tell me the name of the lead vegetable? Someone? I'll give it to you. Go on then. And a bonus question. Who is Kevin the Carrot impersonating? Who said that? He's impersonating Robbie Williams, I believe. And who is he advertising for? Yes, well done. I'm the world's worst thrower, so I just apologize now. To be honest, I don't know. Carrots, at least they're better than Brussels sprouts. I'm with him on that, but I'm going to give it 2 stars. So, and then here we've got one more. Oh, yep. So they're on the money over there. It's Sainsbury's. And do we know who the characters are? Haha. Sainsbury's. Yes, it's Sainsbury's, but I'm feeling generous, so go on. This is a kind of Dickensian Christmas, and this is the generous, kind orange seller, and then the little boy. I don't think they have names. But I quite like the fact that charity is sort of implied within it, so I'm going to give it 4 stars. But my absolute favourite Christmas advert is one that I suspect most of you have never seen before, unless you are from Poland. It's called English for Beginners, and it's advertising something that is the equivalent of Polish Amazon. And I think that it manages to capture what Christmas is about more than any of these other adverts put together. Let's see what you think. Here it is. Isn't that brilliant? I absolutely love that advert so much. And what does that have to do with Christmas? I don't think it's the fact that it happens to be set at one point in snow-covered, because how many of us have actually experienced white Christmases for a start? Although you might do it in Poland. I don't think it's the fact that it's set at Christmas. I think maybe the best reason why I can say that this sums up the Christmas message for me is from the most famous verse in the whole Bible, which is John 3:16. And I thought, see if you can actually read it on this Christmas tree, but I thought we might try and read it together. So you ready? Let's go for it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Very good. Let's just do it one more time. Repetition. I used to be an English teacher, so I know what I'm talking about. Right, let's try again. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, what does that have to do with this advert? Well, I think that what we see in this advert is a man of experience, a man of wisdom, who's willing to humble himself. I don't know if you've ever tried to learn a new language, particularly when you're in another country. I have. I have said some awful things by mistake. I've made some hilarious mistakes, which I haven't got time to tell you about. It's hard. It can be really difficult. But here we've got this man who is putting so much effort, week in, week out, because the clock is ticking and he knows that one day he's going to pack his bag and he's going to head off to another country and he's going to meet his granddaughter for the first time. And even though he's never actually seen her before, he loves her so much. And that love is motivating him. It's motivating him to be willing to make a fool of himself. It's to cross over that language barrier and to cross over that geographical barrier to be with his granddaughter. All of that is motivated by love. She's worth it. She's worth making the journey for. And God loves us so much that he's willing to come to earth. Now, God had sent messengers to earth before Jesus came. They would turn up every now and then. They were called angels. And nearly always, whenever they would turn up, the first thing they would say is, "Do not be afraid." Why? Because when you see an angel, you freak out. Like angels, I haven't seen one, but angels tend to freak you out because, you know, they're these amazing angelic beings. And instead, God decides to come undercover. The Word made flesh is how it's put in the Bible. So God takes on the outward appearance of just an ordinary person, and not just any ordinary person, a baby. What could be more vulnerable? What could be more difficult? I sometimes imagine how it must be, how it must have been for Jesus, thinking, all right, so let me get the time frame right. So I'm going back, I'm going to earth, but I'm not going to earth now. I'm going to earth to a poor area where chocolate has not been invented yet. Same goes for no central heating, no power showers, you know, no comfort. Like, he went into a place of real difficulty. He ended up with a poor family whose guest room was already taken up. So he's born in their own little kind of back chamber where they would keep the animals as well. Why would God do that? Why would Jesus be willing to leave the splendor of heaven and come down to earth and end up basically in squalor? Well, someone who gets it is this little boy here. I heard this story of from a bishop, actually. This was a Bishop of Ely. He went out to Chad, and Chad is not just an American boy's name. It's also a country in Africa, for those of you who don't know. So he went out to Chad and ended up going to this orphanage out in the sticks. It was a fairly poor place. And it was Christmas time, it was December, so he explained the whole Christmas story to all these kids, and then they did a Christmas craft activity. So they were given the materials to be able to make little baby Jesus in a manger. And so the bishop was going around and admiring the handiwork of all these kids. Then this solemn little boy comes up to him and presents him with his manger, his crib. And the bishop looks in it and he's confused because there's not one baby in there. There are two figures in the manger. So he says to the boy, thinking, oh, bless, you didn't quite get the whole thing. So he says, can you just explain the story to me? I just want to see if you understood what I was saying. And the little boy nodded and he said, well, the first thing that I learned is that I'm not an orphan. I thought I was, but actually I have a father in heaven who loves me and loves me enough that he would send his most precious thing. He sent his son, who's my brother, sent his son into the world and sent him just to live in through hardship and through difficulty and even to be willing to die for me. And that's amazing. And so there were other people who at the time, they came to see the baby. And there were shepherds, and they came, and they probably gave him a sheep, because, you know, they would have had lots of sheep. And then there were these wealthy magi who came from the east, and they brought gold, and they brought frankincense, and they brought myrrh. And then I was thinking, what could I give him? Because I don't have anything. And then I thought, but maybe in that manger, maybe he's cold. And maybe I could give him my warmth. So that's why there are two figures in this little crib. One of them's Jesus and one of them's me. I'm in there because I want to give him warmth. And when I heard this story, I just thought, this little boy has understood Christmas better than I ever have. Better than most people that I know. To me, that is what Christmas is about. It's this idea of gratitude, of just being willing to accept. I don't know if you've ever been given an extravagant gift, particularly when you haven't got one for the person that's given it to you, and you just feel like, oh man. Sometimes it can be quite hard to receive good things, can't it? Sometimes, especially English people, we tend, oh no, really, oh, you know. I always find it really funny when you offer an English person like a nice little plate of chocolate biscuits. The first thing they say is, oh, I mustn't, and then they have one. But anyway, it's one of the peculiarities of our culture. What can I say? But here we have this wonderful gift that's being offered. But also there's that question, what are we willing to give back? I love this quote. The greatest Christmas gift ever given wasn't placed under a tree, but nailed to a tree. There's this idea that God has given his very best, his most precious, up unto death for us. He's been willing to give us something that will give us life, something that will bring eternal life. And what we could do is just keep that gift that we've been given, keep it looking very pretty under the tree, and maybe one day we'll get around to opening it. Maybe we won't. But I just want to challenge you, what would it be like to actually unwrap Christmas, maybe for the first time this year, to actually explore what it means? God being made flesh, God coming down to earth, and being willing to sacrifice himself for us in order that we might have life, in order that we might follow him, in order that we might experience transformation that he brings. So I just want us to finish this section by watching that that little advert again. I mean, it's so good. We can watch it twice. And just be asking yourself as you watch it, God, what do you want to speak to me about through this?
English for beginners. I am, you are, he, she, it is. I am, you are, he, she, it is. Robert, I am. Hi. Can you show me the way to the beach?
Towel.
Breakfast.
Fork. Knife. Bread.
I love you. You are perfect.
I gotta kill you.
Kill you. I love you. You are perfect.
I thank you.
Suitcase, slippers, toothbrush,
passport,
pyjamas. Be good, dog. Thank you. Hi, I am. Hi, I am.
Passengers on flight Aerolíneas Argentina.
Hi. I am your grandpa.
It's only on the second time that you watch it that you realize why he's learning. I love you. You are perfect. Isn't that wonderful? Can you imagine having a grandpa who you've never met coming from another country, willing to learn your language, willing to speak to you, and willing to show you how much he loves you? And that is what God has done for us. I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you that you are willing to give up your best, your most precious, and that you did it because you love us so much. And sometimes we find it really hard to receive. But would you help us receive that truth? May that truth penetrate through our armor, through times when we felt disappointed or let down by other people, times when we felt unloved. And what do we do back? Would you show us how we can follow you, how we can start walking with you, having a relationship with you? And would you be very powerfully present with us this Christmas time? In Jesus' name, amen.